Do you want a drink?
Yeah, sure. White Russian.
There's a special rung in hell reserved for people who waste good scotch.
A martini, shaken, not stirred.
Try the wine.
You slip me a bottle of bourbon, a little glass, and some ice.
It comes in pints?
Oh, I'm getting one.
I drink, and I know things.
Hi, this is Steve. I'm here with Chris, and this is episode 5 of the Ruminations podcast. It's been about a month and a half since episode 4 came out. In the meantime, we've been to Rome, and we wanted to talk about Rome for this episode, but we're going to hold off because
we have a lot of disappointing cultural things to talk about.
Yeah, so in the last month, as we prefaced in our last podcast, we saw the end of Avengers and the end of Game of Thrones, and we've seen two other movies in the last week or so, and we're gonna leave Avengers out because Endgame was pretty good. It wasn't as good as Infinity War,
but it wasn't. It was good.
Yeah. So
we saw it twice. So
Endgame is gonna be left off the table here, but we are going to spend some time talking about Game of Thrones, which the whole world has talked about.
Aladdin, which I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
And I have a problem.
And then John Wick 3. So, do you want to start with...
You can start with Game of Thrones, I guess.
Yeah. Well, so Game of Thrones
has been done to death. Right, I was going to say everyone's had their spiel about Game of Thrones. I think probably out of everyone, we're probably the least disappointed with it. They were disappointed, but not... I don't hate it.
Yeah, so...
Like, this isn't The Last Jedi for me.
So, for people that might not know, even though you'd have to be living under a rock like Patrick Starr to not know what's happened with Game of Thrones. So, Game of Thrones, Season 8 premiered in mid-April after a hiatus of a year and a half, almost 2 years. Season 7 was only 7 episodes, and then Season 8 was only 6 episodes, and both seasons had episodes that were longer than an hour, and that the showrunners were assured us that, oh, that was making up the time.
Game of Thrones was always known for characters not being safe, even your main characters, like Ned Stark. And then Season 7 had Jon Snow and friends go beyond the wall, and then Daenerys comes with her dragons, and Viserion's killed. Rest in peace, Viserion. But anyway, Jon Snow, he gets pulled down by whites, and then he gets dragged into the freezing cold water, and then he gets out of that, and then
his Uncle Benjen comes and saves him.
It's like, there's no way Jon could have lived through this.
Right. Well, that's the penultimate episode of Season 7, but I think the issues with characters being safe happened earlier than that, because there was the episode where Daenerys unleashes her firepower on the Lannister army, and Jaime and Bronn should have been annihilated, and they both survived. And that was, I think, episode 4 or 5 that season.
But it felt real.
It felt real, but
Jon Snow's...
Well, okay, so that episode, I think, was the first point where I felt, this is starting... I think they're trying to save the characters for the last season. And then the episode with Jon Snow, where the only one who died was Thoros of Myr because he was unimportant.
Right. Like, Jon Snow being resurrected was less ridiculous than Jon Snow getting out of that scenario
alive. Oh, yeah. And we're not even talking about the time travel that needed to occur for
out. The biggest problem with Season 7 and 8 is it being rushed.
So we had the characters that we, at one point in time, we never knew if they were safe or not. Now they're all safe. And then on top of that, the showrunners, David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, they cut down the runtime, because Weiss was quoted as saying that they always pictured Game of Thrones being a 73-hour story, which no way in hell was that.
they want that Disney dollars.
Yeah, so both showrunners have been hired to write a Disney Star Wars trilogy.
Which is going to suck.
And they told HBO, when HBO offered them all the money in the world to make as many seasons as they wanted, they said, no, we only need 6 more episodes to finish the season.
Right. This is like the opposite of what normally happens when
a show goes on and on, and then it goes out with a whimper because the overstayed its welcome.
Right, but because the studio or whatever else is saying, oh, you need to wrap this up. Where this right, is and reverse. This is the HBO opposite. Saying we want more.
So they said no, and they said we're going to do it in this amount of time, and I mean the whole world has said this that. It shows that the plot it's went rushed. Way too quickly. There wasn't enough development, and I mean Daenerys killing all of King's Landing. I saw it coming. You saw it coming.
I think we mentioned it in our
preview of the season. We thought that.
I mean it. I saw it coming. I think they've been hinting at it for a while that she was gonna be a bad person and be the villain, but. I do think they could have spent more time showing her kill innocents if they're going to do that, because the complaint is that even though she killed the Tarleys, Randall and Dickon, they were still fighting against her. So like she's never really killed innocents,
right? And that could have used some
right, and they could have an fleshed episode that out a little bit. But in their defense, I don't think it came out of nowhere. Because I've talked with people and they're like, oh, where did this come from? Like, they've been hinting at this for a while.
Right.
You know, Daenerys is always been a little bit of a loose cannon.
Yeah.
And I don't like Daenerys, so I'm not destroyed by her being bad. A lot of people that like her are. I've never liked her. I've always found her being entitled and whiny and
right, and
annoying.
That's a reason. All of those characteristics are reasons why she snaps.
Yeah. Because when we rewatched this, I remember saying it's like, because we watched him so quick.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, they're actually like hinting at her being bad.
Right.
And it's like, I said to you, I'm like, oh, I'm glad they're doing this because I hate her. So I'm glad she's going to be the problem.
They could have made her the problem
without
in a longer season with more plot points happening.
Yeah.
In past seasons, I mean, events were spaced over seasons. They mentioned Joffrey's wedding to Margaery, and they don't get married until 10 episodes later. So things moved at a glacial pace in the past, but they had things to fill up those episodes.
Right.
So it wasn't like we were waiting for it to happen. We just knew it was going to happen on the horizon. And then this season, there was no pacing. Mm-hmm. It went from one plot point to the other. Except they started out the season with two episodes that were really slow and character heavy.
Yeah.
So they started out the season strong. And then we got the hour and a half long night episode that the Night King and the Army of the Dead wiped out in one episode. And I remember watching that and thinking, well, maybe the dead will come back. Maybe they'll reference the dead, that whole plot point is not going to end in one episode. And then it ended in one episode.
The two biggest major disappointments for me is that the Night King was killed by Arya with... The Night King being killed by Arya annoys me, but I also think I would have been fine with that if it was a Stark, a group effort, like how Stark took down the Night King.
Right.
And it didn't feel like okay, we're done. Like,
but
let's
move
on.
But that's exactly how it felt.
Right, it's like this whole show has been framed around the White Walkers. It's the first scene you see in season one, and to kind of... have them go out first is a little ridiculous. I think that it should have been reversed, that we should have had the King's Landing stuff first and then the Night King.
Well, that's the theory that...
Of the book.
Yeah, that George R. R. Martin's books, if they're ever written, they will focus on Daenerys...
First.
Becoming the Mad Queen in taking over the throne from Cersei, and then... realizing what she's done, almost redeeming herself in fighting
by helping
the undead.
With the dragons fight, or dragon
yeah.
fight.
Well,
or
however,
what, however many,
many
dragons.
Dragons.
Yeah.
But that it would,
I
it
think
would
that would
make
be
for
better
a better
because,
story.
Right. I know, what's his name, Martin has said that he, I think he said he sees his series as the Scouring of the Shire, which is the end of Return of the King, but that's not how I see it, it doesn't feel the same.
Well, if they...
Because the Night King was not the battle at the Black Gate. Like, the Battle of Winterfell did not have the same climax as Sauron being killed.
No, I think they were trying to go for that aspect where we need to kill the ultimate evil and then sort out our own earthly issues. But that would have worked if there was more episodes.
Right.
It's like, okay, so you kill the Night King in episode 3, or they split that episode up into episodes 3, 4, 5, and then you have 5 more episodes to now, with a denouement. Right.
I just don't get the point of Jon Snow. Jon Snow, he ultimately Jon has Snow a point. Is a completely inconsequential character. We did not need to follow him around one iota. Like, he really did nothing.
Oh, he kills the queen. He kills Daenerys. Yes. That's important, but it's only important because the plot tells us it's important.
Right.
His ancestry has no significance whatsoever. Right, it has no
significance, so that means nothing. My second huge disappointment is the way Cersei died. So Cersei and Jaime, I think... From a completely human standpoint, Jamie's actions make sense. I don't think they're nonsensical, but I just think it's just not a satisfying wrap up to Jamie and Cersei. I wanted Jamie to go and kill Cersei, and that's clearly not what happened. And they got killed by falling rocks from the Red Keep. Because I love Cersei. Yeah. Cersei's great. And it's like I wanted her to have this massive villain send-off kind of death. I don't know. And I didn't get it. She really only had like five lines this whole season.
Yeah, and she was, and, I think, paid $500,000 an episode to sip wine at a window.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what she did. I mean, but I also think that just the tone shift, like the episode before where she has Missandei killed, it's like, oh, Cersei's really bad. And then the next episode, everyone that hates Cersei is feeling bad for her because
she's about to get
crushed by rocks with Jaime. And it's like, pick, if you're gonna switch that up, it needs to be drawn out a little more. But yeah. I'm just very disappointed with how Cersei and Jaime ended.
Now, I will go to bat for the showrunners because Jamie's turn didn't bother me. I've heard people say that, oh, they were, the whole story arc for Jamie, his whole character arc was that he went from being this selfish person to someone who actually cared about the rest of the world, and he cared for Brienne, and he cared for saving humanity from the White Walkers. But then at the end, he throws that all out the window by going back to Cersei. I don't think he threw out his character development. I think he was still a much better person than he began the series as. It's just like, it's also like realistic. A drug addict or like somebody who's in an abusive relationship. I understood his reasoning for going back to Cersei, and I don't think he threw out his redemption arc by not killing Cersei, because at the end of the day, she didn't need to be killed because fate killed them.
I think he threw out his redemption. I just think it makes sense. I think the point, I mean,
but he didn't do anything bad by going back to her. It wasn't like he started slaughtering innocents. It's just
but given the chance, would he have, maybe, would he have defended Cersei? Would he have done X, Y, and Z? Well, I mean,
we wouldn't know because we didn't have that many more episodes. That's
true. But I think he did throw out his redemption, but I think it's realistic. I don't think everyone has a redemptive story. I think Jaime was always... if you're going to do it this way, Jaime was meant to be a tragic character, so he doesn't get redeemed. He has... It's like Gollum. Gollum,
right, but I still
Gollum
think,
is not a redemptive character.
But he still knighted Brienne, and he still...
Yeah, he did good things, but his ultimate, like, yeah, is he a better person now than he was? Sure, but But he still screwed
fell off the wagon.
Yeah. Which I think is realistic. I'm not saying it's not.
Right. I definitely think it's realistic.
I don't have a problem with it in the sense that it doesn't make sense. It's just, I think it's just not satisfying. It's not what everyone wanted to see.
Yeah, that scene worked for the episode. I don't think Jaime killing Cersei would have worked.
No, would in not that have worked for at all. That episode. The whole thing would have had to have changed. Cersei would have, I don't know. I think Cersei should have
instigated Daenerys. Killed,
done more things, been more successful. I don't know.
But the scorpions. The scorpions will stop the dragons because if they stop the dragons the episode before.
I'm so conflicted with the Targaryen ethos, whatever, because I love the dragons. I love their sigil. I love fire and blood. And I hate Daenerys. I love all three of her dragons. I root for the dragons, but it's like, ooh, there's that.
What about Hitler Daenerys in the last episode?
I hate Daenerys.
Yelling to her,
In Valyrian or whatever she's speaking about taking over Karth, and I'm like, she's insane. And then Jon Snow keeps defending her.
But she's my queen.
I was like, okay, you got to do something, or else your character really sucks.
You know who we haven't mentioned so far? Mr. Tyrion. How he somehow survived the series, which is mind-blowing.
New Jersey survived the series. Morristown, New Jersey.
He should have died seasons ago. I understand that he lasted till the end because he's important, but just the amount of things that he's overcome to get to the finale and survive. But then he completely sweet talks his way into appointing a new king when he's literally a prisoner of war, and Grey Worm, who went off the deep end, has
nothing checking him. Daenerys is gone, so his boss is gone.
There's no reason for him to say, oh yeah, okay, you can talk and appoint a new king, and I'll let you and the rest of the lords of Westeros tell me what to do. He could have been king. He could have been sitting on the Iron Throne.
Right. If episode 5 and 6 happened the way it did, Grey Worm should be king. Because he has the entire army. There's no one in Westeros to challenge him. He should have killed Jon Snow right on the spot. There's no reason Jon Snow even went to prison. Tyrion should be dead. Grey Worm should be calling the shots.
Right, but we had to get a nice final shot of him saying we're going to Noth or North.
North.
Or wherever the hell. Which has no significance whatsoever because I don't know who said it. One of the podcasts I listened to said that if the Unsullied are going to form a new community, a new civilization in North, they're not going to last very long. They're all
you know what it was? It's I like Missandei and I did not like Grey Worm. So I felt bad when Missandei died. I don't like Grey Worm. But that scene I think was meant to be a happy send off to him because
but not after people, he was slaughtering people
no,
in
but
the
I
streets.
Think people, but people I think like Grey Worm. I don't get it.
Jon Snow should have killed him, Jon Snow is a pointless character.
He should have killed him in the Bells.
Yeah.
There's so many ways this could have been better, but
the big problem with the finale
Mickey. Mickey is the big problem with the finale because Mickey hired Benioff and Weiss. The mouse is behind it all.
That is very true.
Walt's behind it all. Walt's pulling the strings from his frozen corpse.
He's
not frozen, but
apart from all the little things. But the big issue with the finale is that there's 3 or 4 episodes missing from when Jon Snow kills Daenerys, it cuts to black, Soprano style, and then weeks have passed, and now Tyrion is before this council of all the lords who had to somehow gather and travel to King's Landing, but you know, they could teleport, but they had to get to King's Landing. Somehow Jon Snow was found out for killing Daenerys when Drogon melted the throne and took her. Jon could have walked out of the room and told Grey Worm, the queen left with Drogon. I don't know where she's going. She burned the throne and left.
But that's not Jon's character.
No, it's not. But it's stupid either way. There's no... So he walked out of the room and said, I killed the queen?
But probably. I mean, if Jon was going to be smart, well, maybe, and shouldn't have told Sansa about...
Maybe we should have seen that scene.
I agree.
There should have been three or four episodes in between. You know why we couldn't see
that scene? Because that scene doesn't... No. You know why we couldn't see that scene? Because that scene doesn't work. There is no way Jon Snow walks up to Grey Worm and says, I killed Daenerys, and Right, and lives. That's why we didn't see that scene, because it's fantasy in fantasy.
It's mind-blowing. And that's why. Speaking of mind-blowing, how about Bran the Broken as being king?
I was thinking about this. It would have been better if Bran, there was a shot of Bran with, like, blue eyes at the end. Because Bran's a devious little bastard. When you think about it, it's not even Bran, it's a three-eyed raven that's a devious little bastard. He basically had Bran pushed out a window so he can come all the way up north and defeat the Night King and then sit on the Iron Throne. It's like, who is this guy?
But does sitting on the Iron Throne mean anything if you're all-seeing and all-powerful?
I guess when you're stuck in a tree, it does. I don't know. The Three-Eyed Raven clearly positioned himself over centuries to do that. And it's like, maybe you're the problem. Maybe you're the villain.
Well, if that's...
It's not. I agree. It's not portrayed that way. But I think if you look at it, it's kind of like
I don't think the writers are smart enough to convey that. It's because there was no ambiguity about anything. The only line was Bran saying, "Why do you think I came all this way?" So it's, oh, he knew that he was going to be king. Okay, but the show doesn't dwell on it because they don't want to dwell on it. They don't want you to think, "Oh, well, maybe there's some ambiguity going on." The only ambiguous shot is Jon north of the wall.
I thought they were going to find something.
Right. It's leading to something, and it's like, oh, it's just he's leaving to leave Westeros. He's going to be with
the Wildlings.
It's like, okay. So he's the rightful king to the Seven Kingdoms, and he's gone.
I also think that all the kingdoms should be independent. There's no reason why the Greyjoys were like, oh, Winterfell gets to be independent, but we don't.
Yeah, or Dorne.
What are you talking about? Yeah, there's no reason that all the kingdoms are not separate. I think would have been better. It would have been, because it would have dissolved everything. It wouldn't have been as happy of an ending. It's like, okay, we're all going to go our separate ways.
But the show is going for what's the safest ending possible that won't piss people off. And it's like, okay, they did that. They played it safe. They didn't throw anything out there that leaves it open-ended.
No.
But it's been, 2 weeks? And now everybody's been thinking about it and planning about it. And it's just...
It just went out with a dud.
Yeah.
It's not even... Like, I've only seen that episode once. And I left this season not in a Game of Thrones mood. Every other season, I'm like, oh, wow, I can't wait till the next season. I want to rewatch everything.
Well, there's no more seasons.
I know that. Well, there's a lot more seasons, actually. Do you have a desire to watch it? I have a desire to see Robert's Rebellion, and I'd be interested in seeing the Children of the Forest.
But if the spinoffs are neither of those...
I couldn't give less of a crap about Arya going to explore the Americas.
I don't think they're doing that.
Well, good, because I don't want to see her discover the Aztecs. I don't care about that. What else? What were the other proposed ideas?
I think that was it.
I could care less about Arya. This last season has been way too Arya heavy. Like, I'm about Arya'd out right now. Yeah.
Well, I'm Westeros'd out. I cared about the world because I liked the characters in the world. But now that it ended with such a dud...
Well, I cared about the political scheming, like, the first four seasons I liked. That's what I liked about the world.
But do you think the spinoffs will be about the political scheming? I think they...
Well, I think if it's about Robert's Rebellion, yeah.
But was there political scheming in Robert's Rebellion? It seemed to We know all the big events that happened.
The big plot points, but everything filling that in is different.
I'm just wary about.
I'm not saying it'll be good. I'm just saying I do have an interest in it.
Yeah.
I I don't care about Arya, though. I don't care about seeing what happens after this. I am just Game of Thrones out. I'm sad that I'm feel that way, but I just am.
Well, I think that's the only way to really approach it. I mean, we're not signing petitions to reshoot it. We're not crazy.
Right.
It's more just, oh, it ended, and yeah, kind of stunk.
And I'm still going to pay a ton of money to buy the whole series, because I've been putting it off to buy any of it, and now I do want my full collection. So.
Well, I saw somebody say that seasons 7 and 8 are really one season. So maybe if you watch the 13 episodes in a row, like in a week or so span, maybe it'll flow better than watching them separate. It's still rushed. You can only do so much with that. But maybe if you imagine it all being one season, it won't be so jarring.
Maybe.
It's just someone, I don't know if it's a critic or someone theorizing about it.
Like, he watched it all, like,
no, one no, season. That they, whoever said it, said that the showrunners planned it as one season. They haven't said it, but that it basically is one full season of TV as opposed to two short seasons. I don't know, but, yeah, I'm Game of Thrones out. Went out with a whimper.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so moving on, so we're gonna leave the winter of Game of Thrones, which really didn't last that long. The one very long night, to the heat of Arabia, to the 2019 remake of the magnificent 1992 animated film Aladdin.
Which we ranked as number one in our first episode.
Yeah, so if anyone's listened to our first episode, they know both of our favorite Disney movies is Aladdin. Oh my god. No. This movie was terrible. I hated this movie. Now you can say.
I didn't hate it. I didn't think it was good, but I didn't hate it. I thought I would hate it. I also think I'm more open-minded when it comes to Aladdin.
Because you're not, it's not in your soul like it is with me. I'm a purist.
I did rank it number one.
Me and Aladdin, we...
Aladdin and I.
Me and Aladdin, we bros. We bros. This just movie had just like basically everything wrong with it. Robin Williams. My God.
Will Smith.
Will Smith was the best part. And I actually liked him.
So I thought he was not be terrible?
No. I thought he was good. If I could remake this movie, I'd probably keep Will Smith as like pretty much keep him intact.
Yeah, I thought he was fine. His singing wasn't good. None of the singing was good.
No. Aladdin, the actor was fine. Mina Masood, I think is how you say his name. He just doesn't look Arab. He looks Hispanic.
I thought he looked the part. I just didn't.
I don't think he looks the part at all. He doesn't look Aladdin. Like Aladdin. He looks like he's, you know, Mario Rodriguez from San Juan, not, you know, Aladdin from Agrabah.
I mean, Will Smith doesn't look Arabian either.
Yeah, but he's a magical genie. He's not, you know, the ghetto of Agrabah. There's just a lot of other more Arab-looking people that they could have picked that I think looked more like Aladdin. I think the guy in Once looked a lot more like Aladdin, Once Upon a Time.
I mean, you could say this about the entire cast. None of the cast looked the part.
Hold on. We're going to get to the opus of that. But I thought Jasmine was fine. She looked
Her song fine. Was bad.
Her songs were terrible.
Do you remember the name of it?
No.
It was Speechless, something Speechless. She sings the song twice, and I think it was written by whatever the writing team who did La La Land and Greatest Showman that won Tonys for Dear Evan Hansen. But it felt modern. I think Alan Menken did the music, but it didn't feel like any of the other songs in Aladdin. It felt like a Let It Go knockoff, and it was filmed like Let It Go and Frozen.
Yeah, when I watched it, it sounded like a High School Musical song to me. It sounded like Vanessa Hudgens singing her breakup song.
I don't know anything about it.
Well, I've unfortunately seen High School Musical, so it just reminded me of like the Dark Night of the Soul of Vanessa Hudgens in High School Musical, but oh, now we gotta suffer through this in this really bad Aladdin remake. Before I get to the biggest problem of this movie, which is Jafar, I just want to say the world of the movie is terrible. Like, it looks like crap. There's pastel color buildings, like things are green and yellow, and the world is way too colorful for being a Middle Eastern city. It looks fake.
Well, it looks like
a party city, like
it's
blowout.
It's like
sale.
They filmed in Istanbul, but with the Bollywood color scheme.
Right.
But before we get to Jafar, because I have a lot of issues with him too, Guy Ritchie was not the right director for this movie. It wasn't directed well at all. The blocking was really poor. Everything felt like it was in slow motion. What's the song where he's running from the guards?
One Jump Ahead.
That whole scene was awful.
I know.
They're doing all these stunts and they're trying to mimic the way the cartoon goes, and the cartoon's so quick, and you can't really do cartoony
action
because it doesn't work. Some of the characters that were in the scenes were moving in slow motion when they should have been moving a lot quicker, and the singing was off. It was just really bad.
Most of the music was slow or too slow. But I just had a major problem with the world of the film. First of all, there's a freaking ocean. Like, Agrabah's
right.
Sitting on an ocean,
right.
Or
they're,
a sea,
they're filming
or something.
Like it's Istanbul.
It's, right, it looks like Istanbul. So it looks like the palace is the Hagia Sophia. Which, it's not my biggest problem, but I still think it's wrong. But Agrabah was... It's a city in the desert. It's meant to be the Baghdad or Mecca. It's like these are cities not near water. And there's tons of shots of Jasmine at the palace with, like, the Mediterranean behind her. And it's like, no. No, the Euphrates is not that big. The Euphrates is not an ocean. So I think just the world itself was poor. And then, I don't know, the casting director should be completely fired. Should be drawn and quartered, tar and feathered. This casting director who hired Jafar, I don't know where that casting came from. I mean, the guys...
There were two better Jafars on Once Upon a Time.
Yes. Yes. The guy who played Jafar is a few years older than Aladdin, the actor that played Aladdin. He's meant to be an old, creepy, ugly Arab man. That's what he's supposed to be. And this guy is a high-pitched, younger...
Like, could be a model.
Like, just, what? Like, how did you cast this guy? And now, I'm sure, I mean, like you said, I don't think he did a poor job
His acting was fine, it's just he didn't fit the part.
Right.
It's like Admiral Hux in the most recent terrible Star Wars movies. It's you're having this young guy who's not an imposing figure.
But it would be like having Admiral Hux when you knew Tywin Lannister played him before.
Right.
Like Admiral Hux at least isn't compared to someone where I know what Jafar's supposed to be, and then we get Hux.
Yeah.
Like this... God, he was horrible. And then, of course, he doesn't turn into the snake at the end, which always bothers me.
Always bothers me.
The only rendition of Aladdin that did that was the California Adventure show, which was actually good. That's the only Aladdin...
How long ago was that?
Oh, when was I there? Like, 15 years ago? So it's the only Aladdin...
Because the Broadway show doesn't do it.
No, the Broadway show doesn't do it. I basically, like, know Aladdin but the 92 one, so...
But what about Return of Jafar? That's amazing.
Return of Jafar was better than this movie. That's what it was.
No, it wasn't.
Jafar was Jafar. His animation wasn't on point in Return of Jafar, but it was him.
Guy Ritchie's Aladdin missed the mark on everything but Will Smith, and yet I still left the movie theater not hating it.
I don't get it.
I think Will Smith was that good.
No, he was not that good. He was good. He wasn't good enough to make this movie not bad.
I'm not saying the movie's good. I'm saying that it's not terrible. I've seen a lot worse.
Look, I liked Beauty and the Beast, the remake with Emma Watson. I liked that one a lot. I know some people... See, it's funny. Some people that love Beauty and the Beast hate that movie.
I thought that was okay.
I really liked that movie. I think it was really good.
I don't know if I'd ever watch it again.
Oh, I've watched it. I've watched it a few times. I really like that
ultimately movie. There's no reason to watch these movies again when there's the originals. At least the Cinderella is somewhat different than the original. But I didn't like the new Cinderella, but at least I acknowledge that it's a little more creative.
But okay, if you're gonna make these movies, I don't know. I guess if Disney's gonna make a movie with the same music, I don't want it to be original.
Like, if they're remaking these movies, I think they either make something entirely new, which is, I think, what Dumbo was. I didn't see it, but I heard Dumbo was very different from mm-hmm. the original. Or you, like Beauty and the Beast, you do almost shot for shot.
Right. There's a few little things in Beauty and the Beast, but like not much.
Aladdin tried to expand on some things, but... Even Will Smith, they tried to make him sing like Robin Williams, and it doesn't work. Because if you're just going to make them imitate what came before, then why don't just watch what came before? Which is what the Lion King coming out looks like is going to be a shot-for-shot remake of Lion King. Which means it'll probably be good, because you can't really go wrong with Lion King, but it's what's the point? Disney sucks. That's the moral of the story.
Disney needs to be taken down like King's Landing.
And before we move on to our third movie, do you want to say more about Aladdin? Because I have something to say about Disney.
Oh, one other thing about Aladdin. The movie starts out on a ship in the ocean that's sailing to Agrabah, I guess. And it's just like, this movie started terribly. Like, we started wrong.
Yeah.
We need to start in the heat of a desert and I'm on a ship. Okay. And then Arabian Nights sucked. Everything sucks.
They left out the big monkey idol from the Cave of Wonders. That thing terrified me as a kid. Yeah. And it wasn't in the movie. That bothered me.
Yeah. That bothered you?
Yeah. And they made Iago into Drogon.
Yeah, I mean, they downgraded Iago to basically a real parrot, not a magical parrot, but...
instead of Jafar turning into a snake.
So got large Iago instead of the snake, which... I don't get that decision. I was dying to see a real cobra, a giant cobra, and I didn't get to see it. Him turning into the genie was terrible. It looked terrible.
Yeah.
It was bad.
He didn't even sing.
No, he didn't sing the Prince Ali reprise.
You know, I agree with you. Everything about that movie was bad, except I just liked Will Smith.
I did too. I did like Will Smith.
So I guess... It made me not hate it, whereas you still hated it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was expecting to hate it, so that's why we're ranting about it here. But before we move on to our third movie, I was reminded, since we're going after Disney a lot this episode, that I might have been the same day Aladdin came out, they announced that a nice old Republic movie is in the works with Lucasfilm and Disney's attempt at making Star Wars great again. And Nice Old Republic is a 2003 video game that takes place 4,000 years before the original Star Wars, and it's more fantastical, and it talks about the birth of the Sith, and it's one of the most innovative role-playing games of all time. And there was a sequel that was pretty good that came out a few years later. I've been wanting a Knights of the Old Republic movie since I played it in sixth grade. And now that Star Wars is one of the worst things in the world, this news is soul-crushing. Because I do not expect it to be good at all. And I wanted to be done with Star Wars. I didn't want to have to think about Star Wars.
I hate Star Wars.
I couldn't care less about Galaxy's Edge or whatever the new park is. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see Episode 9. I don't care about Palpatine. I don't care about Luke. I don't care about anything.
Right, I wanted to go away.
And now they're going to be making a movie about one of my favorite things in media. And now I feel like Al Pacino in Godfather 3, where every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in.
This is your Aladdin.
Yes.
This is the difference. Because I could probably go into that movie like, oh, it's not bad. And you're like, oh, no, it's terrible. It's like, that was Aladdin to me.
So I just wanted to get that off my chest.
Star Wars is terrible, and I really don't care about it at all. Like, the new trailer doesn't even bother me. It's just stupid. I found it funny when I heard Palpatine's laugh, because I want him to just... I want this movie to be terrible. It will be terrible, but...
There are leaks about the plot, and it just sounds really stupid.
It will be terrible, I have no doubt.
They're probably going to try to retcon a bunch of stuff from 8.
They will. Because they're 8 gonna is try. They should have just atrocity. Said they should have just put up Episode 8 again. No explanation. Yeah. Star Wars Episode 8 comes out in December 2019. No explanation.
Yeah.
Star Wars needs to go away for a very long time.
Well, we're going to get a reprieve from theatrical movies for what? 3 years. But the Mandarin's going to be the show.
I could care less about that, too.
Yeah.
I don't care. I just want to go on my little prequels hole.
Yeah.
Down prequel memes and...
We could have a whole podcast.
I need to
about
live in prequel memes. Which is basically living in Revenge of the Sith. So, our last movie is John Wick 3
Parabellum.
I don't know. I found it disappointing.
I was bored.
I find the fighting and the violence kind of boring after a while, because we all know he's not going to die, and it just drags on and on. It's like, I'm bored. Get to the non-fighting scenes, because I actually enjoyed them. I liked all the Arab scenes. I liked the Belarusian mafia, whatever thing he's a part of. I like that kind of stuff.
But you like Bronn showing up?
Yeah, I liked, what's his name, Jeremy Flynn. I liked him showing up. Halle Berry and her dogs were like kind of stupid.
And the whole movie was kind of stupid after about a half hour.
Yeah.
I really like the first one. The first one's great. And I think the first one's better than Chapter 2. But Chapter 2, I don't know, it's a simpler movie, but I think I might like it more. But this really has, if I was going to watch a John Wick movie, it would not be Chapter 3.
Because this also annoyed me, because it's not the end. It's like, oh, this movie is the beginning of then John Wick 4, where apparently, I guess, it will end. And it's like, I don't care about John Wick 4 now.
But will it end?
Who knows? It's like, I don't care. I like John Wick 4 is now set up to be him fighting the High Table with Lawrence Fishburne and fighting Ian McShane. But it's like, that's what I wanted this movie to be.
Right, and it just got sillier. I mean, the premise in the first movie is absurd. But they went from, oh, it's a hitman who was wronged and he's getting revenge, to he's continuing his revenge and he's being pulled back into the world, and he goes a step too far in trying to get out. Whereas then this one, it's no longer just about John Wick. It's this whole world of assassins that's... It's almost like Harry Potter, where there's a whole other world that we don't know. Like, as normal people don't know about.
All the homeless people in New York are assassins.
Right. And it's just silly.
Yeah.
Like, I can take little bits and pieces of, oh, he's the Baba Yaga, he's this boogeyman, and there's... They have to put their thumbprint in blood when they have to pay a debt. And I get all that little stuff because, I mean, I'm sure there are hitmen and mafia and people that are like that. But when you have a whole world where now there's this adjudicator who's this androgynous, almost deity coming down, and Ian McShane's Winston is, he's also like a god, and John Wick is immortal. Someone was theorizing that this is actually just an extension of the Matrix, that we're gonna find out that this is just another version of the Matrix repeating itself. Because even the world of John Wick feels like the Matrix. Like everything's dark and rainy, and it doesn't feel like the real world. It's just, the first movie felt like the real world, and this one did not. It's a descent into fantasy. And I also thought this
one... Into the Sentinels?
Yeah. I also thought this movie was way more jokey than the other two. Like, they had the guy from Iron Chef playing one of the chief villains.
Yeah, he just didn't cut it.
And all he did was make jokes. Yeah. And they had a bunch of horses kicking people, and it looked really fake. And Halle Berry's dogs bit the crotches of at least 15... henchmen. It's like, all right, once was enough. Why do I have to see this again?
Right. I mean, I like the Arabian aesthetics, but it was still, like, absurd. It's like, oh, he goes into the Sahara and he's got to meet the wandering warlord of... I don't know.
He met Jafar.
Yeah. There we go.
He would have been a better Jafar.
He would have been a better Jafar. I just was bored. Like, I felt like it was dragging. I could feel its length.
Yeah. And people love it, so I mean...
I wanted this to be it. Like, if this was one movie, it's like, oh, John Wick was a good 3 movies. And now it's like, oh. Now I don't really care about seeing John Wick 4, so it's... whatever.
Yeah, so...
I'll move on.
So... John Wick seems to be the type of movie now, it's overstayed its welcome. We're saying Game of Thrones was something that understayed its welcome.
Yeah.
And then things like Aladdin, which are completely unnecessary.
Right.
So, at the end of the day, it's all about money. And artistry really doesn't matter. I mean, John Wick is made well. But it's not... It's meant for idiots at the movie theater.
Right.
And...
The amount of people yelling, like, oh my god, it's like, you know what you came here for?
Yeah.
I don't know. The moral of the story is Disney is bad. Disney needs to be broken
up. And that...
The Maleficent dragon needs to fly over Magic King's Landing and take him out.
I think the moral of the story is, if it's not Marvel, expect to be disappointed. Even though with Endgame being finite and bringing the original Avengers story to a close, that should really be the end of the MCU. Those characters should go out on a high note. But
that's not gonna happen.
It's Disney, so that's not gonna happen. And I don't know, we're probably 3 or 4 movies away from people being over Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is it.
They're gonna do all the next new phase,
and then we'll see how well that does.
So they're gonna do sequels to everything. They're doing a Captain Marvel 2, Black Panther 2, Spider-Man 2, which comes out in a month, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, probably an Ant-Man 2, Doctor Strange, or Ant-Man 3, Doctor Strange 2, and then maybe one or two new originals. But then if it's not leading somewhere, then where are they going to go?
Unless you're just going to be standalone movies, but I don't see that happening. But that's
not how they've been working. So right. There's going to be a phase four or phase five. I just don't see it lasting. Yeah. I don't see my interest holding either. Because I don't really care about the new characters.
Right. I mean, you like Spider-Man.
Yeah, but I don't know Spider-Man. If I care about Spider-Man. I don't know. And what's a bigger villain than Thanos?
Oh, I don't know. That's what I mean. I don't know where they're going to go, but...
So, unless now they're doing a multiverse thing where Thanos is going to come back, but it's a different Thanos.
That'd be terrible. Well, I mean, that is kind of what happened.
That's the moral of the story. Everything's terrible. Everything's terrible eventually. So, that's our podcast on disappointment. High note,
get ready to be disappointed by everything.
I think our next podcast we wanted to talk about Rome.
Yeah, so we got back about a month ago, so might talk about what we saw there.
Yeah, I wasn't disappointed by Rome. I've been disappointed since I've been back, so. All right, well, thanks for listening. Well,
thank you.